Okay, good morning, everyone. Again, Chanukah is not one of the three regalim, so we don't have an Isru Chag for Chanukah. But I'm going to make believe that we do have an Isru Chag for Chanukah, so I want to just continue with one thought about Chanukah. It's really a very interesting halachic issue, though, and it actually gives you some insight into part of the liturgy that we sometimes don't think about. We know that in both Tefillah and in Birkas HaMazon, there is a hosafa, there is an additional reference to what is called me'ein hama'ora, to whatever occasion there is, which means when it's Shabbos, let's say Birkas HaMazon, we add Ritzei. When it's Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, we add Yaleh V'Yavo. And for Chanukah and Purim, we add Al HaNisim. That is called me'ein, meaning something connected to the ma'ora, the events of the day. Right, this is a basic idea. Now, let's go to the bracha of Al HaMichya. Now, Al HaMichya is something you recite when you eat mezonos, or you eat one of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Al HaMichya also has a haskara, me'ein hama'ora. There's a mention of Shabbos, Ritzei, and Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov. But you will notice, perhaps, that in Al HaMichya, there is no mention at all of Chanukah and Purim. There is no haskara of Me'ein Hama'ora for Chanukah and Purim. And the question is, why is that so? Why is there no insert in Al HaMichya for the holidays of Chanukah and Purim? Now, you might be tempted to give the following answer, and that is, well, maybe we only put in Al HaMichya those things that if you skipped in benching would be so important you'd have to bench again. So if I skip Ritzei or I skip Yaleh V'Yavo, I have to bench again. So that gets into Al HaMichya. On the other hand, if I skip Al HaNisim, I don't have to repeat benching. So the argument goes, if it's not important enough that you have to repeat Birkat HaMazon, it does not enter into Al HaMichya. That might be an answer you might suggest, but that answer is not correct. And the proof that that answer is incorrect is from Rosh Chodesh. If I left out Yaleh V'Yavo in Birkat HaMazon of Rosh Chodesh, I don't have to repeat the Shmon Esrei again. And yet, there is a mention of Rosh Chodesh in Al HaMichya. Huh? I didn't hear you.
Shmon Esrei, you don't have to?
No, Birkat HaMazon. I'm sorry, I misstated. I don't, are you sure? Did I say Shmon Esrei? Wow, okay. Must be getting old. Okay. Birkas HaMazon. Shmon Esrei, of course, you do have to repeat unless it's Ma'ariv. But in Birkas HaMazon, you don't have to repeat. So the point is this. What do you see? You see from this that Al HaMichya incorporates Me'ein HaMa'ora even on those things that you don't have to repeat if you left out on Birkas HaMazon, namely Rosh Chodesh. And if that's the case, then why not Chanukah and Purim, right? Why is there no Me'ein HaMa'ora in Chanukah and Purim? Right? It's a very, very good kasha. I mean, you may have noticed it. It's indeed a difficult question. So there's a very beautiful little bit of an intricate... First I do have to announce. I always forget. I don't know why I forget to announce. Another sign I'm getting old. But please announce at our shir that today's shir is Minchas Chinuch is sponsored for the entire coming year, 2023, by Rev. Fahl and Sharon Alman in memory of their parents Edith and Reiner Alman, Zichronim Levracha, Yona Ben Sadok, Zichrono Levracha, and Esther Bas Rafael, and their son Rabbi Shmuel Elio Alman, Zichrono Levracha, Rabbi Shmuel Elio Ben Rav Rafael. Again, we're very, very grateful for the support of Torah, and may it be a zechus for the Niftarim and for all of your family. Thank you. Okay, so going back to the central question, why is there no Me'ein HaMa'ira for Chanukah and Purim in Al HaMichya, although we do have it in benching as well as Shmona Esrei? So there is a mahalach that is said in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he bases this on an interesting sugya in Maseches Brachas. The Gemara in the fourth perek discusses the idea of a person that is in a dangerous place, or a person who's not able to take the time to daven a whole Shmona Esrei. So there is a concept of what is called a tefillah ketzara. There is an abbreviated Shmona Esrei that you can recite. Some Siddurim have it, some Siddurim do not have it. And this is called the prayer of Havinenu. Now the way it works is, it's not so abbreviated really. You say the first three brachos in full. Magen Avraham, Mechaye HaMesim, Ata Kadesh. Then, and you will say the last three brachos in full. That's Ritzei, Modim, and Sim Shalom. But the middle brachos that are called Bakasha, different requests, you kind of summarize them in a single paragraph. So you'll say something like, you know, I'll just do it in English, you know, give me knowledge, give us redemption, give us parnasa, it's plural, etc. Every bracha is like in one little phrase, and it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah, blessed is Him who hears our prayers, and then you go to Ritzei. This is called Tefillas Havinenu, and although b'di'evid you're Yotzei, whenever you say Tefillas Havinenu, but l'maisa you're only supposed to do it if it's called a Shas Hadchak, an emergency situation, a situation where you're in a dangerous place, or you're part of a caravan and the caravan is leaving, your train is leaving, and for whatever reason you can't daven on the train itself. Now, the Gemara then goes on and has a mimer of Shmuel, Shmuel the Amora, that says, we do not say Havinenu Motzei Shabbos. Mirev of Motzei Shabbos, you cannot say Havinenu. Why is that? Because Ma'ariv of Motzei Shabbos, you have to add something to the Shmona Esrei, Atacha Nantanu. In other words, that's the Havdalah, that Hashem separates Bein Kodesh L'chol. And since Havinenu doesn't have that insert, so you're stuck, you can't say Havinenu Motzei Shabbos, because you don't have the insert of Atacha Nantanu. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks the very, very obvious question. So put it in! If I'm saying Havinenu, Motzei Shabbos, I should put in another three words, Hivdalta Ben Kodesh L'chol. So the Gemara says, you know, that's a really good question, Kasha. We don't have an answer to that question, meaning Shmuel said it in. Shmuel said a halacha, that you don't say Havinenu, Motzei Shabbos, because you don't have a Havdalah Lashon. The Gemara asks on Shmuel, why not put in the Havdalah Lashon? And the Gemara says, that's a good question. But, it reminds me of a story they tell about a person who went to his rabbi and he wanted to get instructions about how do you architecturally construct a certain building. For whatever reason, he went to his rabbi, he thought he would get Das Torah on it. So the rabbi says, oh, Pashut, Rashi in Erevin tells you exactly what to do. And he went through Rashi's Shita in Erevin about a certain construction, and the person followed all of the construction, and the building collapsed. So he goes to his Rebbe and says, you know, you told me to build a building according to Rashi. He says, oh yeah, that's Tosfos Kasha. You're right. So sometimes, now here's the thing. Sometimes when the Gemara says a din, and it asks a question on it, there's a Lashon called Tiyufta. Tiyufta means it's totally refuted. And sometimes it says kasha. Now when we learn, we generally translate it the same way. It's an unanswered question. But the Rishayim say there is a nafgamina, there is a difference between where the Gemara says something is a tiyufta and where the Gemara says something is a kasha. When something is a tiyufta, that actually means it's wrong. It's refuted, it no longer stands. Kasha actually means it remains lahalacha, there's a difficulty, but it's an answerable difficulty. Even though the Gemara doesn't answer it, but kasha suggests there are going to be some possible answers. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, one of the great Rishonim says, that although the Gemara said kasha on Shmuel, Shmuel's statement remains lahalacha. Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch so paskins, that you cannot say Tefillat Havinenu, Ma'ariv of Motzei Shabbos. Question is, why not? Why can't I put in the Havdalah? So Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was the nephew of the Ramban, one of the great Rishonim. He says, every line of Havinenu has to correspond to an autonomous bracha in the Amidah. So, Havinenu means give us understanding. That corresponds to Atachonein. Hashivenu l'torasecha corresponds to tshuva. Meaning every line of Havinenu gets in only because it's a whole bracha. Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos, is not a separate bracha. There is no bracha in the Amidah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. Havinenu is simply a haysafa that is within a pre-existing bracha of Atachonein. Atachon Antanu is a haysafa within the bracha of Atachonein. And the Gemara explains why. Because Imein Das Havdalah Minayin, without wisdom, you're not able to discriminate between Kodesh and Chol. So the Atachon Antanu never has the status of a separate bracha. And if it doesn't have the status of a separate bracha, it cannot be incorporated as a phrase in Havinenu. Same thing with Yalav Yavo. That's why you can't say Havinenu on Rosh Chodesh, because Yalav Yavo also is not incorporated as a separate bracha. Okay, this is Rabbeinu Yonah's Yisod, that Havinenu can incorporate Bekitzor only those things, only those components of the Amidah that are separate brachos, but cannot incorporate additional things that are only within existing brachos, like Atachon Antanu and like Yalav Yavo. Right? This is a Yisod from Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, Rav Chaim wants to take this Rabbeinu Yonah and say, make the following argument. Perhaps Al Hamichya is modeled the same way. The technical name for Al Hamichya is called Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, a bracha that resembles three. What do we mean, a bracha that resembles three? Remember that Birkat Hamazon Da'oraisa has to incorporate three brachos, although now we have four brachos. The first bracha thanks Hashem for food generally, Allah Aretz V'Al Hazones HaKol, rather. Right, bracha Rishona is on food. The second bracha thanks Hashem for the gift of Eretz Yisrael, and it also mentions Bris Mila and Torah. That's Ala Aretz V'Ala Mazon. The third bracha is a prayer for Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David. Obviously, what that means to say it's a Doraisa is a very interesting question, but nevertheless, there needs to be a prayer, so to speak, for the Jewish people, which later got concretized as Malchus Beis David on the Mikdash, and that begins with Rachem, and that ends with Uvnei Yerushalayim. And those are the three brachos that are Doraisa. I don't mean they're Nusach, but the elements they encompass are required in Birchas HaMazon D'oraisa. And that is why after we say Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim, we answer Amen, even though I'm making the bracha myself, to indicate that that is the end of Birkat HaMazon D'oraisa. And then there's a fourth blessing, Hatova HaMeitiv, God is good, and God does good. That is the fourth bracha that was added to Birkas HaMazon, and that was very late. That was after the Beitar massacres, right? The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans, let's say in the year 70, and then you had later, 60 years later, you had the Bar Kokhba revolt, and the Bar Kokhba revolt ended very, very tragically in 135, with a massive, massive massacre in Beitar, which indeed also occurred on the 9th of Av, according to our tradition. And Hadrian, who was the emperor at the time, was so adamant that he wanted to crush the Jewish revolutionary spirit that he did not allow the corpses, the hundreds of thousands. The Gemara gives, the Gemara's numbers are literally in the millions. The commentaries say that that might be a guzma, but certainly there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of casualties. The Romans did not allow the corpses to be buried. And a miracle happened that the corpses did not decompose. They remained whole. And this went on for 3 years and a week. Finally, Hadrian realized he was not making his point anymore. And he gave permission for the Haruge Beitar to be buried. And tradition has it that was on the 15th of Av, meaning 3 years and a week after the Beitar massacre. And to commemorate the joy, it's quite amazing. On one hand, this was a massive tragedy. But the fact that we were able to bury our dead is also a cause for simcha. Hatov v'hametiv. God is good. Shelo hisrichu. That the bodies didn't decompose. Metiv, God does good. Shenitnu l'kvura. We were able to bury them. That is the bracha of Hatov v'hametiv. And that ends with Al Yechasreinu, may Hashem never diminish us. And that's why you answer Amen after that as well. Not if you're benching yourself, but if you hear the person who's leading the benching. Now the Harachamans are technically not part of the benching at all. They are later Minhagim. The Vilna Gaon, for example, did not say the Harachamans on Shabbos because he felt it was not an official part of benching and you don't ask for requests on Shabbos. That's the Gra who didn't say it on Shabbos. And I understand that the minhag of some yeshivas, I think it's Chaim Berlin actually, don't even say the Harachamans during the week because it's considered to be bittul Torah, you know, too much time spending benching. Again, I have an issue with that. I mean, you know, if you're a person who doesn't, you know, literally does not waste a minute on anything, maybe you can make a cheshbon, oh, the Harachamans and bittul Torah. But I mean, you know, okay, whatever, all right. I mean, but if you schmooze, then why don't you take it out of your schmoozing time and say the Harachamans for benching. So, okay. But be it as it may, the Harachamans themselves are not part of Birkat HaMazon Bichlal, and that is why, that's why if you're benching on a kos, after Al Yechasreinu, you put down the kos, and that is why, technically, although you should never really talk in the middle, but technically, after Al Yechasreinu, you are allowed to talk, because it's not part of the Birkat HaMazon proper. Okay. Now, that is Birkat HaMazon. Now, Al HaMichya is actually an abridgment of Birkat HaMazon. It used to be called, still called, although the title is inaccurate, it was called Me'ein Shalosh, kind of a summary of the three, but today we should change it and call it Me'ein Arba, a summary of the four. But you know, we don't like to change titles. I mean, an example would be Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei has been 19 blessings for quite a long time. But we haven't gotten around to changing it. We still call it Shemona Esrei. So Me'ein Shalosh is the same as Shemona Esrei. It used to be Me'ein Shalosh before Beitar, and now it's Me'ein Arba, even though we don't use the name Me'ein Arba. Now, let's go over this, how in Al HaMichya we pick up every element of benching, although not in the same words exactly. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Melech Olam, Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkala, on sustenance, essentially on food. That corresponds to Hazon Es Hakol, Bracha number one. Then we say, Now, Dialach Hashem Elokeinu. I want to mention the sitter to check. Okay. So, thank you. So we have Al HaMichya V'Al Kala, Al HaGefen, Al Eid. That corresponds to, that's Hazon Es Hakol. Al Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava is a thankfulness for Eretz Yisrael, that corresponds with Nodelecha, the second bracha. Rachem na Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael amecha, Yerushalayim yirecha, al tzi yamashan kvodecha, ending with Uvnei Yerushalayim yirakodesh, is the third bracha. Although I will mention, I'm not going to answer the question today, there is one conspicuous omission in Al HaMichya, and that is, it does not mention Malchus Beis David. In Rachem, we're supposed to ask Yerushalayim, the Mikdash, Malchus Beis David. In Al HaMichya, it says Rachem, Al Yisrael Amecha, Al Yerushalayim Yirecha, Al Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha, right? But it does not mention Malchus Beis David. Okay. Then it's Bnei Yerushalayim, so that's three. Now then, at the end, it says Ki Atah Hashem, Tov Umeitiv Lako. That corresponds with Atov HaMeitiv. Okay, thank you, Shkesh. I appreciate it. So, Al HaMichya encapsulates the blessings of Birkas HaMazon. But Rav Chaim wants to say that just like Rabbeinu Yonah says about Havinenu, that the only thing that makes it into Havinenu is that which is a bracha bifnei atzma in Birkas HaMazon, so too Rav Chaim wants to say, I'm sorry, in Shemoneh Esrei, so too Rav Chaim wants to say, the only thing that makes it into Al HaMichya is that which is a bracha bifnei atzma in Birkas HaMazon. So one second. Therefore, since Chanukah and Purim is not a separate bracha in Birkas HaMazon, it's part of No Delicha, the second bracha, it doesn't make it into Al HaMichya. But wait a second. That doesn't make sense. Shabbos makes it. Rosh Chodesh makes it. Yom Tov makes it. They're not separate brachos in Birkas HaMazon. If you're making the argument that the only thing that enters Al HaMichya is that which is a separate bracha in Birkas HaMazon, and that's the answer you're giving for Chanukah and Purim, that doesn't explain why Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov make it in Birkas HaMazon. Ah, so says Rav Chaim Gevaldik. The truth of the matter is, at least potentially, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov can become separate brachas in Birkas HaMazon. Let's explain the halacha. Normally, if I'm following the correct order of things, I say Ritzei and Yalev V'Yavo in the bracha of Rachem, right before Uvnei Yerushalayim. But what if I forgot to say Ritzei? What if I forgot to say Yalev V'Yavo and Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh? So, halakhically, if I said Uvnei Yerushalayim already, I said Baruch Ata Hashem, I said the name of Hashem for Bnei Yerushalayim, at that point, I can't go back. So there actually is a bracha, look in your siddur, there's actually a bracha that you insert for Shabbos, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nasan Shabbosos L'Mnucha. There's a bracha you insert for Rosh Chodesh. There's a bracha you insert for Yom Tov. A bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, this is a very narrow window. This bracha can only be said if you already said the shame of Bonei Barachma Vishlaim Amein, and you didn't yet start the Baruch Atah Hashem of Hatova HaMeitiv. Within that window, there is a bracha that you insert. Now, if you miss that window, and you already started Hatova Meitiv, so then it depends. If it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, you would have to go back to the beginning of benching. If it's Rosh Chodesh, it happens to be you don't have to go back to the beginning of benching. But that, right, but that distinction between Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh only pertains to cases where you lost the window. Within the window, there is actually a bracha that you say.
When's the window?
The window is between Bonei, I'll refine it in a moment, but the basic idea is after you said Bonei Barachma B'Yushalayim Amen, before you said the Baruch Ata Hashem of the next bracha. Now technically, I'll refine it a little bit. Technically, the window is if I already said Baruch Atah Hashem before saying Bonei Barachma Yerushalayim Amen, I am then supposed to finish it. Bonei Barachma Yerushalayim Amen, then say the bracha. Okay? Now this is an insert. This is in every sitter. Every sitter should have this insert in the benching. But again, let me emphasize. Until I said the name of Hashem in Bonei Barach Mevishlaim Amen, I just go back and say Ritzei Yalev V'Yavo. And once I said the Baruch Atah Hashem of the next bracha, I cannot say this insert. For Shabbos, I got to go back to the beginning. For Yom Tov, I got to go back to the beginning. Even for Chol HaMoed, I got to go back to the beginning. For Rosh Chodesh, it's Farfalin. I don't have to go back. Okay? But there is this bracha. Now, so Rav Chaim says, the reason why I mention Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov in Al HaMichya is not because of Ritzei and Yalev V'Yavo. If it would only be because if we're saying Yalla V'Yavo, since those are not separate brachos, they would not have gained admission into Alam Michya. What enables Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov to be mentioned in Alam Michya is the fact that there are times that they're separate brachos in the Birkat HaMazon. Masha Enken, Chanukah, and Purim, you'll see in Birkat HaMazon, there are no separate brachas. If you missed Alah Nisim, there is no bracha to make up. And therefore, even though you mention Alah Nisim in benching, it does not gain admission into Alah Michya because it does not have the status of a separate bracha. Now, Rav Chaim brings a phenomenal raya to this, a phenomenal proof, which mamash, you know, until you notice this, you don't realize how obvious the point is. And that is, let's take Shabbos. When do I say Ritzei in Al HaMichya? Before Uvnei Yerushalayim or after Uvnei Yerushalayim? Afterwards. Uvnei Yerushalayim, and then I go on, and then Ritzei Vachlitzeinu. When do I say Ritzei in Birkas HaMazon? Before Uvnei Yerushalayim. Why is Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov after Uvnei Yerushalayim, if it's supposed to correspond with benching? So Rav Chaim says, because the Al HaMichya mention of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh does not correspond to Ritzei and Yalla V'Yavo, it would correspond to the special bracha you would recite in the window. The window is after Uvnei Yerushalayim. Now, that's an amazing question. I mean, I don't know how many people, I don't know, you know, until I became aware of this Rav Chaim, the question never occurred to me, that why is the Me'ein HaMa'ora of Al HaMichya in a different position than it is in Birkas HaMazon? And Rav Chaim says, because it's keneged the bracha that would be in Birkas HaMazon, not keneged the haskara of Yalla V'Yavo, or it's a, you know, it's like they say, the Beis Hillel, Rav Chaim's father, was himself one of the great, great Gedolei Hador, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, called the Beis Halevi. He was the first of the Soloveitchiks to be the Rav of Brisk. Three generations were the Rav of Brisk. Rav Yosef Dov, who was the Beis Halevi, who died around the 1890s, and then you had Rav Chaim, who died in 1918, and then you had the Brisker Rav, we call the Brisker, the last Rav of Brisk, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, who was Nifter in Eretz Yisrael in 1960. And then the others are Rosh Hashivas, but there were three generations of the Soloveitchik family that were the Rabbanim of Brisk. The Beis Halevi once said about his son Rav Chaim, he says, you know, the difference between Rav Chaim and me is someone asks me a gewaldige question, a really good question, and I give a really good answer, so everybody's happy. The person is really happy that he had this brilliant question, and I'm happy because I gave a brilliant answer. He says, when someone asks my son a question, he shows that there was no question to begin with. You know, he says, so like, nobody's happy. He says, there's no question, there's no answer. I mean, Rav Chaim was like so deep, he's like showed that the whole thing was a mistake. He says, so nobody gets nachas, he says. And indeed, they say that the sign of a truly, truly emistic thought that answers a question is once you hear it, you don't even know what the question was. Like, gee, what was that question? You know, because it's like so obvious that Rav Chaim made things obvious. And this is like an obvious point, that the Me'ein HaMa'ore in Al HaMichya is keneged the bracha, it is not keneged the Ritzei. And the Me'ela, since Chanukah and Purim don't have a bracha b'fnei atzma, right, there's no separate bracha in the window, therefore it does not make it into Al HaMichya, and Rav Chaim's Yisod is based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, who said a similar thought by Havinenu. Remember, Rav Chaim is basing that structural idea on Rabbeinu Yonah's point of why Atochen Antanu is not inserted in Havinenu, because Havinenu can pick up only those things that are separate brachos in the Amidah, and Rav Chaim wants to say the same thing is true for Al HaMichya. But as absolutely brilliant as this thought is, in a sense, you're just substituting one question for another question. And that is, we started off with the question, why is there no mention of Chanukah and Purim in Al HaMichya? And what is our answer? Because there is no separate bracha for Chanukah and Purim in Birkas HaMazon if you missed Al HaNisim. Fine. That's a great answer to that question. But now I'll ask another question. How come there's no bracha in Birkas HaMazon? If I miss Ritzei and I'm within the window, I say a bracha. If I miss Yaleh V'Yavo and I'm within the window, I say a bracha. If I miss Chanukah and Purim and I'm within the window, I don't say a bracha. Right? Why is that the case? Now, you can't even answer again, well, since if you skipped Al HaNisim Lagamri, you don't have to repeat, so we're not going to give you a bracha. That's not emes. Rosh Chodesh, you also don't have to repeat. Meaning, they gave you the bracha in the window even for those things that you don't have to repeat. Right? In other words, if I missed Yalav Yavo and I'm within the window between Bnei Yerushalayim and Atova Meidav, I make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, even though once I pass the window, I don't repeat benching. So let Al HaNisim be very much, very much the same, very much the same way. So in a sense, as they say, Rav Chaim's answer is absolutely brilliant, but it raises another question. You've answered a question by creating another question. So the answer actually would be this. If you learn the sugya in Maseches Shabbos, there are two main hama'oros that you don't have to repeat if you miss. One is Al HaNisim, does not have to be repeated if you miss them. And the other is Yalav Yavo of Rosh Chodesh, not in Shemoneh Esrei, but in Birkas HaMazon, does not have to be repeated. However, there are two different reasons why you don't repeat them. It's very interesting. The reason why I don't repeat Al HaNisim, we're talking about benching now, is not the same reason I don't have to repeat Rosh Chodesh. Yalav V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh in benching is a chiyuv. It is absolutely a chiyuv. But it's a type of chiyuv where b'di'eved they didn't require you to repeat. But it is a chiyuv. Al HaNisim in Birkas HaMazon, what emerges from the Gemara is that it only was a minog. It never was a chiyuv to say Al HaNisim. Now today it's a chiyuv because we've accepted upon it. Because the Gemara in Shabbos indicates that since the whole purpose of Al HaNisim is to publicly proclaim the miracles of Hashem, the chiyuv of Al HaNisim is only in the Amidah, which is done typically in Shul, where there's a tzibur, but benching, which was often done privately, never had a chiyuv of Al HaNisim, and it's only mitam minog. So the point I'm making is this. In fact, even in Al HaNisim you see this chiluk. If I skip Al HaNisim in Shemoneh Esrei, I also don't have to repeat. But the reason why I don't have to repeat in Shemoneh Esrei is not the reason why I don't have to repeat in Birkas HaMazon. I don't have to repeat in Shemoneh Esrei because although Al HaNisim is a chiyuv, it's not a chiyuv that you have to repeat b'di'evet. In benching, I don't have to repeat because it's not a chiyuv. Now, again, that may be semantic, but it actually has that difference in Birkas HaMazon. That is why when you miss Yalav Yavo of Rosh Chodesh in benching and you're in the window, there is a bracha because there is a chiyuv to do it. Although, once you pass the window, you've lost it. Av HaNisim, there never was a chiyuv b'chlal. It's only mitam minak. So that's why there's no bracha. Okay, so it's interesting that sometimes you can have a halacha, which is an identical halacha in two cases, but the reasons are very different. Meaning, you don't have to repeat in Birkat HaMazon Al HaNisim, and you don't have to repeat in Birkat HaMazon Yalav Yavo, but two different reasons. Yalav Yavo is a chiyuv, which does not compel repetition, b'di'evet. Al HaNisim in Birkat HaMazon is bichlal not a chiyuv. And the nafkamina between that is not just theoretical, but that's why Rosh Chodesh gets a bracha in the window, and Chanukah and Purim do not get a bracha in the window. Once we say it doesn't get a bracha, we then have Rav Chaim's answer why it doesn't make it into Al Hamichya. So you got to supplement Rav Chaim's answer with this extra element. No, it would be treated as a blessing in vain. It's a bracha levatel. You can't just go back and
no,
say...
No, start from the beginning? No.
No, because since you have fulfilled your mitzvah of benching, for you to go back and bench would be a bracha levatela. It would be a blessing in vain, so you would not be allowed to go back. But you do have that window between Uvnei Yerushalayim and Atov Vameitiv. There is a bracha with
what
Hashem's name.
Kodesh different from Yom Tov?
Yeah, so basically, you know, Chazal made levels because Rosh Chodesh is what you might call a quasi-Yom Tov or a semi-Yom Tov. So they didn't elevate it to the same status. An example is Aliyah LaTorah. On a regular Monday and Thursday, we have three Aliyahs. On a Yom Tov, we have five Aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh, we have four. Although, Lamaisa, I want to say that in a way I just contradicted myself because Yalla V'Yavo in benching, if you missed it even on Rosh Chodesh, even on Chol HaMoed rather, you'd have to repeat. It's only Rosh Chodesh you don't have to repeat. On the other hand, in terms of Aliyos, Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed are treated as the same. That's an interesting point. Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed are treated as the same for Aliyos, but they're not treated as the same for Yalla V'Yavo. You know, there's a very fascinating aggression a little bit, but it's interesting, again, since we're talking about Rav Chaim, so I'll tell you a story with the Brisker Rav. A very, very interesting machlokas like this. What is the halacha, right, if you missed Shachris, not on purpose, but because either you fell asleep or you were sick or you weren't able to daven and the like. So there is a principle that you can make up in the next tefillah by davening too. So if I miss Shachris, I can daven two minchas. The first one is for mincha, and the second one is for Shachris. If, however, I didn't make it up by mincha, I lose my ability to make up Shachris after Zman Mincha. But if I miss mincha, I can daven two Ma'aretz, right? This is a well-known halacha. This is called Tashlumin, making up by the next tefillah. And this only works if you did not intentionally decide not to daven, and then we always get a big machlokas. What if somebody decides to take a nap 15 minutes before shul, you know, etc. There are all sorts of questions. When are you called accident and when are you called negligent, etc. Now, what is the halacha, what is the governing principle when you're transitioning into a different time frame? For example, let's assume I did not daven mincha of Friday afternoon, which is a tefillat chol. So I can make up for mincha Friday afternoon by davening two ma'arevs Friday night. Now, for sure, the first prayer is a Friday night prayer, because that's ma'arev. But what do I do with the second prayer? One might have thought, if you were just, you know, if I was just writing on a blank slate, I might have argued, well, since I'm making up for the mincha of Friday afternoon, I should daven a Friday afternoon mincha, even though it's Shabbos. The answer is no. When you make up a tefillah, the tefillah that you daven is not the nusach of the one that you missed, but it's the nusach of where you are right now. So therefore, when you are making up a Friday afternoon mincha, you daven two ma'arev Shabbos davening. Now, that's not just true because we want to elevate Shabbos above the week. The same thing will be true the other way around. Let's assume I missed mincha on Shabbos, and I'm davening two Ma'ariv Shmona Esreis after Shabbos. The first one is a weekday tefillah, for sure, but even the second one is a weekday Ma'ariv. The second one is a weekday Ma'ariv because even though you're making up for Shabbos, now that you're in the weekday, you daven weekday. So this is a klal gadol, right? A very, very, very important klal that all tashlumin is not based on the nusach of the tefillah that you missed. It's based on the nusach of the tefillah at the time that you're making the tashlumin. So now, let's see if you could take the admission test that Rav Chaim used to give to get into the Volozhiner yeshiva. The yeshiva of Volozhin was the greatest yeshiva in Europe, and the glory years of Volozhin were really the last 12 years, when both the Netziv was the senior Rosh Yeshiva and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the junior Rosh Yeshiva. He was a young man at the time. And Volozhin was then closed by the Russian government for various reasons, and Rav Chaim then took over his father's shteller in Brisk. But people who knew Rav Chaim said that although Rav Chaim was certainly a great Rav, but the sparkle went out of his eyes, that Rav Chaim really always wanted to be a Rosh Yeshiva. That's what Rav Chaim was, and Rabbanus was not really suited for him, but he did it out of a great sense of duty. By the way, I remember in my Rosh Yeshiva's office, Rav Ruderman, and I think it's still in Rav Aaron Feldman's office, still in the Rosh Yeshiva's office in Eretz Yisrael, there's a full-length picture, not picture, painting, of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And it was just fascinating. Rav Chaim had huge eyes, and you may have seen pictures of Rav Chaim and the like. And Rav Ruderman said that when he was 9 years old, and he was already known as a brilliant child, he was taken to meet Rav Chaim. It was the Gadol Hador. And in the middle of this little meeting, Rav Chaim was giving him a bracha, someone came in and needed to talk to Rav Chaim about an important matter. And Rav Ruderman was going to leave the room. And Rav Chaim said, you could stay. And Rav Ruderman said, from the conversation I heard for 5 minutes when I was 9 years old, I still take advice in Hadracha how to run my yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in Baltimore. He said, just 5 minutes listening to Rav Chaim, says, were things that he took in that he still remembered all of his life. So Rav Chaim was a great Rav. Rav Chaim was a great Rav. Although it's interesting, Rav Chaim had some quirks in the sense. Rav Chaim was a great Rav. Rav Chaim didn't like to paskin shilas. Rav Chaim almost refused to paskin shilas. You might ask, well, what is a Rav supposed to do if not to paskin shilas? So Rav Chaim actually answered this. Rav Chaim said, the purpose of a Rav is to protect the downtrodden and stand up for the poor and oppressed. He says there were Dayanim who could paskin shilas. Why Rav Chaim didn't want to paskin is a very interesting thing. You can write a book about it. There's still a lot of speculation what was going on in Rav Chaim's almost fear of paskining. He had a number of great dayanim, and every shaila he referred to them, he never wanted to paskin. I think, my own understanding is, that because Rav Chaim was a very, very independent and original thinker, in the area of Psak Halacha, he would often come out independent and Mechudash, but he didn't necessarily want that to be publicized. He felt that most people should follow the standard traditional way, but Rav Chaim as an Ish Emes would not be able to paskin Keneged what he thought made sense, so he kind of left Psak to other people, and what he did privately and the like. In fact, I have a little riot of this. The Posek Hador, the one who was the Posek Hador, and that in Rav Chaim's time, was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan of Kovna. The YU is named after Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshivas Yitzchak Elchanan. And Rav Chaim used to send his shilas to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, and he would tell Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, just give me a psak, don't give me any reasons. Tell me, mutter, usher, kosher, treif, don't tell me why. Says, why? Because you tell me why, I'll argue with you. But I know if Hashem made you the Posek Hador, even if your lumdus is wrong, your answers are going to be right. So I don't need to know lumdus. I have my lumdus, and my lumdus may come out differently than you, but I have bitachon that Hashem made you the Posek of the generation. So I accept what you say. He says he literally did not want Rav Zichron to give him any reasons, because he would have argued on the reasons, and then he wouldn't have been able to follow the Psak Halacha. But anyway, in Volozhin, Rav Chaim used to ask people who were applying two questions. I'll give you both questions. I'm sure he asked other questions as well, but these are the two that became makubal in the yeshivish world. One is, let's assume that I missed Mincha. This is a different question. That's actually Pashut. If I missed Mincha Shabbos afternoon, and I daven Ma'ariv, so in which Shmona Esrei do I say Atochan Antanu? That actually is a Pashut one. In the first one, because the first one is Ma'ariv. But Rav Chaim's question is this way. Let's assume I missed Ma'ariv Motzei Shabbos. Yeah, this is the chab. I missed my Rav Meitzel Shabbos, and I got a daven two shachrises, two Shmona Esreis. In which one do I insert a tachanantanu Sunday morning? So the standard answer would be, well, the first prayer is for shachris, the second prayer is for arvus of Motzei Shabbos, so atachanantanu should go into tefillah number two. That's what most people would answer, but as you might surmise, you wouldn't get into Volozhin if you gave that answer, because Rav Chaim said, the reason why atachanantanu is inserted is not because it's Mairev, but because it's the first Shemona Esrei you say after Shabbos. So whatever is the first Shemona Esrei after Shabbos has to have atachanantanu. So if your first Shemona Esrei happens to be Shachris, atachanantanu belongs to the first Shemona Esrei. It's not totally on Mairev, it's totally on the first Amida after Shabbos. That was question one. Question two is, if you have two Esregim, you have two Esrogim, two Esrogs. One Esrog is absolutely beautiful, but you have a suffix, maybe it's not kosher because maybe it's a morkov, maybe it's a grafted with a lemon. It's 100% beautiful, but it may be puzzle. The second Esrog is not so beautiful, but you know 100% that it's kosher. Now, obviously, you're going to take both Esrogim, because I want to take the one that's 100% kosher, and then I want to do the mitzvah in a beautiful way. The question is, once again, which should you take first? I make the bracha. Should I pick up the Vadai kosher, or should I pick up the Vadai mehudar? So most people would say, well, pick up the Vadai kosher, because you want to be sure you're Yotzei, and then do a heder. Rav Chaim said wrong. Because once you're Yotzei the mitzvah, once I was Yotzei the mitzvah, I can't do Heder mitzvah afterwards, meaning I picked up the one that's Vadai kosher, I've done the mitzvah. So now you're telling me, pick up the other one so you'll do the mitzvah behidur. Sorry, I can't do the mitzvah behidur. I already did the mitzvah without the Heder. Masha'en kein, if I pick up the Mehudar first, what I say is this in my mind, if this is kosher, I want to do the mitzvah with this one. And then if it's not kosher, I'll pick up the other ones. Rav Chaim said, you bedavka have to pick up the mehudar first. Because if you pick up the eino mehudar first, you're yaitzei the mitzvah. Once you're yaitzei the mitzvah, hidur after the fact is not going to help you. Now, l'maisa, Rav Moshe Sternbach, who I'm sure could have gotten into Volozhin, Rav Moshe Sternbach brings this Rav Chaim, and he actually... As a tzorich, I wouldn't say he argues with Rav Chaim, but he says it's a tzorich in Gadol, that he doesn't think this psak is correct. And he gives a very interesting svara. His svara is like this. This is actually a very good svara. It's impossible to say that something that is a suffek, if it's kosher, is more mehudar. What does it mean to say something is mehudar? Mehudar is not just a matter of physical beauty. Mehudar means that it's the best way to be Yotzei. If something may not be possibly kosher, then for sure it's not mehudar. In other words, the question doesn't start. I have a mehudar that may be pasul versus an eino mehudar that's kosher. No, the eino mehudar that's kosher is more mehudar. Because to be Yotzei a mitzvah without pikpuk, without safek, is the greatest level of heder. Then he would say there's no reason. There's no reason to take two. That's correct. There's no reason to two because it's a false dichotomy. You can't have something that's more mohudar, but it's a suffix if it's kosher. There's no pagam that is greater than something possibly not being kosher. Yeah. Okay. So I'll address that. But what did you want to say? Yeah.
The question is, you make the first answer that you take the mohudar the. One that is a safek.
Yeah, right? Safek, yeah.
You make a bracha on that one.
Right, and then take the other one right away.
You put it down.
And then take the other one, yeah.
You don't make another bracha.
No. The bracha covers both. Oh. The bracha covers both. Yeah, Rav Druckman, again, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Druckman was one of the great great leaders in Rabbanim of the Dati Leumi community. Again, the last years, maybe the last decade and a half, maybe the last two decades, there were many, many controversies because of he ran the Giyur programs for the Rabbanut, and a number of people in the Haredi world didn't feel his conversions were proper. On the other hand, he felt that this was needed for Klal Yisrael in order to keep Eretz Yisrael a Jewish state. So again, I don't have a lot to say. I think he was a very devoted person. He was a Talmud Chacham. He had much Avas Yisrael. And as always, some of the attacks are unfair, and they besmirch a person who did much for the Jewish people. But did you have a specific thing? I actually didn't. I didn't follow the Levi. I mean, I'm aware that he was.
Yeah. Follow his career.
No, he was, again, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Hester Yeshivas. He was a Talmud of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook and Rav Neria, who actually founded the Hester Yeshivas. And then he was very involved in Geiris. Geiris was the last 20-25 years. He was the head of Giyur programs with Russians, with soldiers, and the like. And that is, I think, the controversy. Sometimes it's towards the end of a person's life, he gets into controversial issues, which can sometimes leave a negative impression. But he was very chush of a person, and he deserves a lot of respect for what he did for the Jewish people.
The thousands of people who came to the funeral.
You know, in Israel, it's very hard to say. I mean, on one hand, I could say, and I would hope it was out of genuine admiration, and that would be good. I can also hear that part of it was a protest against the Haredi attacks on him. We're going to show you. All right. So I think it's Yesh V'Yesh, but probably, I don't know. Probably a majority did come out of genuine Hakaras HaTov for the many things that he did. Yeah. The issue primarily was how strict are you in terms of Kabbalah's mitzvahs? I mean, if you have a lot of people who are converted and then wind up at a short time later not keeping Shabbos, one has to wonder about the validity of the conversions. There were a number of cases, but again, there are people who slip through the cracks in every type of gear. I mean, I can tell you firsthand that even Geiris under the most firmest of the firm, these things sometimes do happen. People can deceive a Beis Din and the like, so they do happen. But okay, but that's part of it. I don't want to get into the details of all of these individual scandals, but that's the issue. And of course, keep in mind as well that there is an ongoing kind of culture-religious struggle between Haredi and Dati Leumi, and this is one of the areas where it was played out and the like. In fact, Shas had a commercial a few elections ago. Of course, we have so many elections. It wasn't that long ago, but it was like three elections ago, where they had a guy standing under the chuppah with a woman, and there was a fax machine under the chuppah, and the chassan asked the kala, like, well, why is there this fax machine? He says, well, wait, my conversion papers are coming through, They were trying to show that. It was a parody of saying that these are such quickie conversions, and they do it by fax. You just send in an application, and we'll send you the conversion paper. It wasn't that. It certainly wasn't that. But whatever. Israeli politics are, pretty rough. Okay. All righty.
Criminals becoming ministers, so that's accepted.
Yep, that's correct. Well, crime is okay. It's just
crime is okay.
Yeah, crime is okay.
that's say not. It's okay. A chutz laretz. It's at least it's goyim.
No.
Here already.
I understand. I wasn't making a serious
thing. Hard to rationalize.
Okay, so now let me just mention one other very interesting shaila. Okay. Okay, that's true. Atachontam is takanat ma'ake, but once again, so you're saying that could have been a separate answer. But on the other hand, since l'chatchila you're supposed to say it, then why not put it in as a l'chatchila? Yeah, ein achinami. If I skipped it, I wouldn't have to repeat, that's for sure. But that doesn't answer the question of why not put it in. That's why the Gemara says kasha, and that's where Rabbeinu Yonah comes in. Okay, one final question, and that is like this: Let's assume it's Rosh Chodesh. And Mincha of Rosh Chodesh, I'm supposed to say Yalev Yavo. And if I don't say Yalev Yavo, I got to repeat Shmon Esrei. But let's assume I just forgot to daven Mincha Lagamri. Or not only that, let's say I davened Mincha, but I forgot Yalev Yavo, but I didn't remember to repeat. Now it's Ma'ariv. Let's think about this. I got to daven two Shmon Esreis. Now, first Shmon Esrei is Arvis, no question. Second Shmon Esrei is a makeup. Now, do I say Yalev Yavo? No, because the rule always is, the rule always is that you look at the time that you say it. So here's the question. I get how that makes sense if I didn't say Mincha at all and I have to make up Arvis, so I'll say the second one without Yalev Yavo. But let's say I said Mincha, but I missed Yalev Yavo. So I'm not Yotzei Mincha, but what's the point of davening a second Ma'ariv? The second Ma'ariv is going to be no better than what I actually did.
Right.
So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. There are some Rishonim that say that when you're going from Rosh Chodesh to Chol, you'll only daven two Ma'arivs if you missed Mincha Lagamri. If I missed Mincha, I'll daven two Ma'arivs. But if I said Mincha, but I missed Yalev Yavo, there is no toelas in davening two Ma'aribs, because an Amida I said already, and Yalev Yavo I'm not going to say in the makeup. So some Rishonim actually paskin, in such a situation you do not daven two Ma'aribs, you just daven Ma'arib. Other Rishonim say that since a Mincha without Yalev Yavo is like a zero, so it's ki'ilu you didn't do anything at all, and therefore you daven a second Ma'ariv to make up. So this is an interesting machlokas. As does it make sense to make something up if the makeup is not going to be any better than the deficient one that you did? Right? So that is a machlokas rishainim. La halacha, there are actually two dayas. Generally speaking, we're noeg to daven a second Ma'ariv. We treat the not saying Yalev Yavo as if there is no Amida at all.